2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the NBA Daily Dispatch, brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. If you're not a member with us yet, use the promo code PODCAST. Get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. Comes out to $16 a month. With that, you get 24/7 access to the best DFS Slack chat in the business with all of our coaches, pros, and like-minded players. Boomers, Ballers, Cheat Sheet, updated projections, and of course, the Domination Station, basically printing money for all of our members. Once again, DFSArmy.com, use the promo code PODCAST. Well, if you don't remember who I am, my name's Al Walsh. I host this damn thing along with good friend and comrade Keith Hall. If you guys haven't found us on Twitter yet, make sure you do so. 14A.Walsh for me, at Boomers DFS Daddy for Keith. So Keith, with about a week off in time, what did you get accomplished over the break?
I got a lot of R&R, rest and relaxation.
Rocking and rioting, I was wondering if you were going to go with, but okay.
Rocking and rolling and, yeah. that was my best John Travolta impersonation from Grease, and that's about all you're going to get from me today. So
you'll never do it again. Okay.
Okay, I understand. But, no, I got a lot of MLB stuff done. I started working on the outline and basis of what our model is going to be for MLB. Started working on that. Caught up on a lot of those little transactions that happened over the winter and stuff like that. Got familiar with a bunch of that. Did some in-depth analysis to some research that is going on with NBA. There's a couple new articles I want to read that I quite couldn't get to yet. Just a lot of busy work. Spent some extra time with the son and nice. You know, kind of tried to enjoy a little bit of not having to grind. Threw in a couple hockey lineups and that didn't go too well. So
yeah, see, I was tempted to do that over the break, but I said, you know what, I'm gonna give the account a good, you know, nice week of rest here. We'll reset. Now over the break, I took on a couple freelance writing jobs, and it just quickly made me realize how much, you know, I enjoy what I'm doing here for a living now. So that, you know, it was tough to, it wasn't even being back in corporate America. It was just doing some assignments for corporate America. And even that was just absolutely brutal. So glad to be out of that. And, I got a new laptop as I just discussed. So I'm running the two-man operation, the old pick and roll, give and go situation on my desk right now. And, yeah, other than that, just kind of, I watched a shit ton of movies, man. Oh my goodness. Jeez. I'm trying to think. I finally saw No Country for Old Men, by the way.
Never
crazy.
Seen it.
Oh my goodness. You need to do yourself a favor.
Dude, now, I haven't seen Bad Grandpa or whatever it is.
Oh my God. Yeah, that one. I don't even know how we're still friends after you haven't seen that
yet.
I was supposed
to watch that last year's All-Star break.
Yeah. I think when we first spoke, I think that was the first thing I actually said to you. So that's how long it's been.
Yeah.
What do we got here? Six games on today's NBA slate. But before we get into that, we got to talk about some of these trades and how they're going to affect things moving forward. I guess we'll bring up the big one first. DeMarcus Cousins and Omri Caspi pack their bags and head to New Orleans. In return, Buddy Hield, Tyreek Evans, Langston Galloway, the Pelicans' first-round pick this year, and the Sixers' second-round pick, which was Pelicans, is now the Kings. So they open it up there. And the funny thing about this whole thing was, you know, Vlade Divac in the presser saying afterwards, well, I had a better deal, but that was 2 days ago and we didn't take it. This guy has to absolutely be fucking kidding me, because when you open yourself up to something like that, you know, obviously you're just the laughing stock of the league. But I think I understand how this all went down, right? So I tried to make a perfect analogy of this. And it's kind of like, you know, you getting into a fight with your lady friend or your significant other, right? And as reparations, she says, you know what? All you have to do is watch The Notebook with me and all will be forgiven. And then you try to parlay, like, let's go out to dinner or something like that. And then like your man cave or your office, you come back home, it's painted violet and you got pictures of unicorns all over the place. So when you have a good deal, you take what you can get at first.
Yeah, I think what's being lost in all of this, first off, I've got two different takes on all of this, but one thing that we have to remember is the Kings had a top 10 protected pick that is supposed to go to, I forgot who it was. It's supposed to go to somebody. Oh, it's to the Sixers.
Okay.
In the, Nick Stauskas deal, which
another
was
another great one.
Yeah. How Sam Hinkie got fired from that job. And how he doesn't already have another NBA GM job is beyond me, because, like, the Sixers are just piling up stuff now. But, you know, now with Boogie, they're pretty much guaranteed that they're gonna have a top 10 pick, and they're going to be able to keep it for another year. Now their pick next year will have to go to the Sixers. That's no big deal. But this is supposed to be one of the deeper drafts that we've had in the last 4 to 5 years. So, you can legitimately say that, you know, it was for, you know, two first round picks, one of them probably being a top 10. The other one probably being in the, I would say, mid to high teens, maybe low 20s, depending on if Nola can make the playoffs now, which is a possibility as long as they stay healthy, which we always know is a big, big, big key for the New Orleans Pelicans. But so we've got that's one. The other one, or that's one little outlining thing that we're, I think, all forgetting in this deal. The other one tonight is the fact that, you know, look, you spent a first-round pick on Willie Cauley-Stein. He wasn't going to get a lot of him and DeMarcus Cousins didn't mesh well on the floor together, partly because Boogie requires such a high usage in order to be productive. The other one is because the coaching shit show that has been in the Kings organization, you know, with George Karl kind of toying around with that. And then, you know, Dave Yeager finally starting to realize, like, hey, we've got to see what this kid can do. You know, we spent a first-round pick
bombs.
On him.
Jaeger bombs.
So now you're going to be able to see what Willie Cauley-Stein can do at the NBA level. And we've seen flashes, but we haven't seen it consistently because we haven't seen it on the court consistently. Well, we're about to. So there's one little take. The other little take is, you're getting a top six pick back from New Orleans and Buddy Hield. Now, I know everybody wants to, oh, Buddy Hield, oh my gosh. Well, in New Orleans, he was never going to succeed. And the reason for that is because they had Tyreek Evans, who they were probably weren't going to re-sign after this year anyways, who commands a lot of on-ball usage. You have Drew Holiday, who commands a lot of on-ball usage. And you have Anthony Davis, who commands a lot of on-ball usage. You have to take into account that Buddy Hield, when he was at the University of Oklahoma, he was a high-usage guard. He would go streaky and he would go he would become hot with his jumper. But that doesn't really translate to the NBA when you're profiled more as a shooting guard. He was learning to work off the ball for the first time in probably his career, which is not easy to do if you've never done it before. You've got to learn how to move, settle cuts, stuff like that. It's kind
that's
of
exactly how my rec basketball career went down the went down the drain. Once I moved off the one, forget it. I was useless.
Yeah. So there will be flashes where Buddy Hield looks like he is the second coming of Steph and Clay combined. The fact that the owner thinks that that's going to be a long term solution is a joke. But and I love Buddy. I think he can have success. I think this is a good move for Buddy. Langston Galloway was just, you know, to make the salaries match along with Tyreek and Buddy. But when you're looking if you are getting a fair trade for Boogie, my answer to you was always is and always is going to be no. You're never going to get a fair trade for the talent because of the guy that he is on the court. He's a great guy off the court. I've heard nothing but good things of him doing great things in the community. And the only thing that I can say that I've heard negatively of him off the court was the little mix-up he got in with Matt Barnes in New York City. So, I can't, you know, you can't discredit or anything. But to give this guy $40 million a year, a $200 million contract, when you're the Sacramento Kings, that was not the way that you needed to go. So they needed to unload him. I think that they shortchanged themselves a little bit. But also in that aspect, you know, when you have people pulling what you don't consider good offers already off the table, then you start to get a little bit of gun shy. And we've talked about this before. You know, a little bit of something is better than a whole lot of nothing. Now, the question is what can they turn these picks into, and can they develop Buddy Hield? You know, because Tyreek Evans is not going to re-sign with the Sacramento Kings. I'm sorry. He's going to go somewhere where he can compete for a championship. In my opinion, that would be his best move. Langston Galloway, he's a NBA journeyman, so we don't have to worry about that. But if they can develop Buddy Hield.
Solid player.
When given
the opportunity.
Yes, but in small spurts, not as a feature in the offense.
Oh, God, no.
So now you're, for the Kings, you know, it may not be value, but it's still not a bad trade as long as you can make it work. Meaning you have to have somebody that can develop Hield. You have to turn these picks into something, and you're now seeing what you can get out of Willie Cauley-Stein, and if he can be, you know, a cornerstone of your franchise as a former, I think he was top five overall pick, wasn't he? If I'm not mistaken. No, Willie Cauley-Stein.
Oh, I believe he was 6 or 7 overall.
So you're accomplishing a lot of these things if you're Sacramento. So, because if you give...
Number 6.
Okay, yeah. I was looking it up and you beat me to it. If you give DeMarcus Cousins $40 million a year, I mean, you're going to just rival there in mediocrity for the rest of his career until he gets out of that contract again. Because you can't move a $40 million a year contract with that type of attitude. So there was that. Now, from the New Orleans Pelicans side of things, I don't know what the hell we're going to do. Well, I know what I'm going to do tonight, but I don't know what the hell we're going to do, you know, going forward. These are two high usage guys that are on the wing, or that are that can step out to the wing. They both, I said this when they did it, I think it's a good basketball trade. It's a horrible fantasy trade. Because now it's kind of like the Golden State Warriors. We're going to have to kind of pick and choose where we use who and in what situation. And a lot of that's going to come after we see how the Pelicans use it. So now,
see, I don't. Here's my thing. I don't even think that it's a good basketball move, to be quite honest with you, because number one, you got two guys that command such a high volume of usage in order for them to not only be successful but to be happy. You know, I mean, we've never really heard about AD stepping out and being a pain in the ass or anything like that, but we know that this is Boogie Stilo. This is who he is. So it's really just a matter of time before this kind of blows up in their face. And you talk about a team like the Pelicans.
After,
now they
you mean after Boogie gets a tech tonight and he's suspended for the next game?
sure, even that. Now, but the thing with that is, you know, you got a team that's in the top 10 in terms of running fastest pace in the NBA. Boogie is a slow human being. I mean, he comes from a team that was playing, I believe, the fourth slowest pace in the NBA. I got to go back and look at the numbers,
yeah, but
somewhere in that range.
That last year, Sacramento was the fastest team in the NBA.
Yeah. But look,
I think
again,
of that
you're
slow
have...
human being thing, I think it's just Boogie being lazy.
Oh, he is lazy. He is absolutely lazy. But yeah, I mean, look, we've seen this with teams that like really stack their, I guess, their rosters with star players. And I always bring this up because it makes sense. There's only one ball out there. You know, there's not two balls where both of these guys can be getting their shots. I think the guy that it actually benefits the most is probably going to be Jrue Holiday. We'll probably see his assist numbers go through the roof with these two. I mean, a simple pass off to the wing or wherever is probably going to lead to an assist more often than not. But there will be a learning transition trying to figure this out. I mean, everybody's kind of given the Pelicans that eighth playoff spot. I don't think that that's necessarily a given. You know, I mean, hell, even when the Miami Heat had their big three together with LeBron and Wade and Bosh, I mean, they got out. I think they got off to like a 9-8 start, you know, and that's,
yeah,
you know,
some
of the best players in the world. But I think overall, I don't see this move working. Granted, the Pelicans got the move for, you know, close to nothing. But I think, you know, when you look at later on down the road, this probably was not the best fit for Boogie.
Yeah. And another thing is, you know, well, I mean, it could be if he thrives outside of Sacramento now on a decent team that can, you know, compete for the playoffs. It's, you know, teams are now going to get to see him outside of the element of, you know, being in Sacramento his whole career. Because we never really heard about a lot of this stuff when he was with Kentucky. Now, granted, he was only there for, what, 1 or 2 years. But still, we never heard about a lot of this stuff. One of the things that I think that is going to be interesting, it kind of protects New Orleans a little bit in case, you know, AD gets banged up. They don't have to worry about, you know, all the load going on Jrue Holiday as long as Boogie's not suspended for that game. You know, it but if you're Sacramento, you weren't going to get a lot of high priced assets anyways, because Boogie, he's an unrestricted free agent this summer. He can walk.
Yep.
So you're talking about a rental, and we're not even talking about a rental for half the season. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a rental for like 25 games. There are 25 games left in the NBA regular season. And just think, if it takes you 15 to gel, you know, and that's overshooting it probably. So we're talking about 10 games where we're really, really gelling together. I mean, there's no guarantee that this works out for New Orleans past this year. Now, granted, obviously, you know, New Orleans is going to obviously max him, hopefully. But then you're going to max him without a point guard because you're not going to be able to re-sign Jrue Holiday. So, but
yeah, you're asking Boogie to be kind here, and you know, not many have succeeded in doing that.
And you can bet your ass, after getting traded now and now losing the guaranteed $200 million contract that he could have signed with Sacramento, he's going to test the market.
Yeah, I think you would have to. Now, how about in conclusion in this whole thing, how about Vlade Divac being involved in yet another heist in NBA history? Number one, as a player, if you remember, he got traded for Kobe Bryant straight up. And, you know, what a deal that turned out to be for the Lakers. And then, you know, he's involved. He's the one that pulls the trigger now.
I don't think this is such a heist, though. Like, is it a bad deal for Sacramento? Yes, but you're also saying that there were good deals out there. And I don't think that, you know, there were probably better deals, like he said. And I think the heist is him admitting there was a better deal out there. Because right. now the rest of the NBA GMs know that he can be taken, that he's gun shy. But I don't think that this is necessarily a heist because, you know, what happens if Boogie walks? New Orleans got Boogie for 25 games and, oh, congratulations, you got the 8 seed to go get schlacked by Golden State. Now, who wouldn't want to see that? And see Boogie and AD take on Steph, Clay, Durant, and Draymond. Who wouldn't want to see that? But in that same aspect, congratulations, you didn't even re-sign Boogie. If say that happens, at that end, I think if Boogie walks and they get ousted in the first round, I think Sacramento wins the deal.
Okay.
Because they're getting the expiring contract, which they already had, but they're getting the expiring contract in Tyreek Evans. They get a sixth round overall pick. They get to keep as long as they tank, which is something that we're going to have to talk about over the next day or so. Then they get to keep their top 10 pick, and they get a first round, New Orleans first rounder, and a second rounder next year. If Boogie walks, How is that not a win? So I think that maybe Vlade Divac was saying, okay, what is the best case scenario that could happen, and what are the odds of it happening? At least I've tried to sell myself on how this could end up being a good deal for Sacramento, and that's the only thing that I can come up with.
And that's.
Again, adding in the element that Willie Cauley-Stein turns into I'm not even saying he has to be a top 25 player in the NBA, but he turns into a good player in the NBA. That goes into saying that Buddy Hield can be a franchise, can keep developing and become maybe not even a franchise shooting guard like James Harden, but can be a Nick Batum, you know, can still work on his defense. You know, because he's a young player. Yes, he's 24, but in NBA years, he's young. He's going through his first season. So those are the only ways that I can see Sacramento winning this deal. And is it likely that it happens? Yes, I think that it is. Now, does it? Only time will tell, though. So that's my opinion on that one. I think there are two other trades that are just hands down like a bigger steal than this one is.
Well, maybe it'll come up in what we talk about, but you know, we're gonna have the Rockets in action tonight, so we'll get to them a lot later on. But they do get Lou Williams from the LA Lakers. Rockets give up Corey Brewer and an unprotected 2017 first round pick here. My analysis from this whole thing was, will Patrick Beverley ever take another shot in a Rockets uniform?
Yes. Dave already said that. Well, I mean, because He's basically your third option with that first unit. When he plays, he's your third option from beyond 3-point. Because you've got Harden, you've got Ryan Anderson. Okay, well, maybe Trevor Ariza, four. I forgot about him. So, yeah, he'll still... I mean, you got to remember, this is a team that... I mean, they jack up, what, 55 freaking 3-point shots a game? And they and don't be surprised if they break their own record this year. Now with Lou and Eric Gordon and Sam Decker on that second team, and then you mix in, you know, a Montrezl Harrell and a... I almost said Pablo Prigioni, but that's because I was playing too much NBA 2K. But you know, you've got those options. I love this trade, not only for the Rockets but for the Lakers, because you get a pick, and it's a first round pick. Now, granted, it's probably going to be a low first round pick, but it's still a first round pick. And you get an expiring contract in Corey Brewer, who they're probably going to waive anyways. And so now, for DFS purposes, Lou Williams was winning you games. Well, the Lakers have no reason to win games anymore. They have a top three protected pick that they want to keep. And so they want to lose. And we'll talk about this tomorrow when the Lakers are on the slate, but they need to lose to keep that pick. Otherwise, it goes to, I think, the Nets or the Sixers in the Steve Nash trade. It's one of those.
Now, another thing that this does, too, I mean, obviously the Rockets, they feel like they're the team that's going to take on the Warriors for that Western Conference title. Their bench now is significantly better than the Warriors. They kind of have sort of a bench like the Warriors actually had these last two seasons. So I think that does a lot for, you know, them head-to-head going up against the Warriors.
I think it does, too. The question is can the Rockets beat the Warriors at their own game? You know what I mean? Because the way that Steve Kerr started to run his rotations, you know, he's running Durant and Curry out there with Ian Clark and Kevon Looney and, you know, James Michael McAdoo right now. Or he's running Clay and Draymond out there together. You know, he's running right now two of the two of their Fantastic Four out there with their second unit, you know, the latter part of the season. And this is a time where, you know, as DFS players for the NBA, if we're going to start if we're going to play NBA playoff basketball, we need to start paying attention to these. Oh, it's fantastic, because we don't have to worry about, you know, the eighth guy coming off the bench stealing minutes. But we need to start watching these rotations for these playoff teams, because they're going to start taking form. I don't know if the Rockets can beat the Warriors at their own game without running James Harden out there for 38 minutes. You know, Ryan Anderson's gotta start being a little bit more consistent. And Trevor Ariza's got to find a shot again. And Sam Decker's got to start, you know, being a little bit more consistent for it to happen. But, I mean, it's definitely, if they end up meeting in the Western Conference Finals, it's definitely going to be a very, very, very good series. It's an exciting series, actually. Very exciting.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah, and look, I mean, you know, Vegas is a team that the Rockets have loved. I mean, there's been plenty of times that they've covered this. Their numbers are very good against the spread this season. And, you know, they actually won in Golden State this season. So keep all that in mind. Rockets, definitely a legit contender now to challenge the Warriors. All right, so a deal for me that hit close to home. Bojan Bogdanovic and Chris McCullough heading out to the nation's capital in D.C. In return, the Nets get Andrew Nicholson, Marcus Thornton, and a lottery-protected 2017 first-round pick. Wizards aren't going to be getting a lottery pick anyway, so that's just fancy lingo. Marcus Thornton's actually going to – he's expected to be waived by the Nets today if he hasn't been already. So that's an interesting move because I thought, you know, Thornton could have definitely – you know, tried to, you know, try to make a little name for himself with this team. But I think all this really does now is just give more weight to a lot of these younger guys and kind of see what works for the Nets down the stretch. More importantly, though, the Wizards finally get somebody of competence coming off their bench. You know, you can certainly, you know, spell Otto Porter or Markieff Morris a couple extra minutes with this move as well. But, you know, we talk about this all the time for fantasy purposes that the Wizards starting at five, they score the highest percentage of their team's points. Now, this one move solely isn't going to change how that at all operates. But, you know, the Wizards have some big aspirations this year, and definitely adding a piece like Bogey helps. I wonder now maybe if they can get another bench guy here somewhere.
I don't know how many viable bench guys are still out there that can be had for the limited amount of assets that the Wizards now have, unless you're wanting to part ways with like Kelly Oubre or somebody like that. But yeah, the Wizards, I mean, we've talked about it all year long. The, you know, they've got the highest percentage of points per game from their starters. You know, and Bogey, he steps in. We know what his role is going to be. We know that he's going to play 25 to 27 minutes, spelling he can play the three and the four. Hell, if you want to go real big, he can even play some of the two a little bit. It's how well is he going to mesh with or how quickly can he mesh with John Wall and Markieff Morris and get in there. I actually really like this trade for Scott Brooks and the Washington Wizards. Is Bogey's contract expiring after this year? Do you remember?
He will be a restricted free agent.
Okay, so basically the Wizards can match anything. And, I mean, look, this is a guy that can get hot. And they need that. Kelly Oubre and whoever else they threw out there just wasn't cutting the mustard from the bench. I mean, their bench sucks. So... I mean, it's not a deep bench still. They still could add another piece. There's guys out there like Taj Gibson, Nikola Mirotic that they could try to go get, but you're going to have to part ways with something, and they don't have a lot of things left to part ways with.
Let's see here. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, this could definitely work. Especially for Bogdanovich, because he was more often than not the Nets' only threat if, you know, Brook Lopez wasn't on the court on offense for them. So he would typically see a lot of the team's best defenders, you know, games against the Bulls. He would draw Jimmy Butler. You know, he's certainly not going to be drawing that type of defense going forward now with the Wizards. So, again, if you get this guy open for some three-pointers, it's going to be a nice day for all involved.
Now, here's my question.
Okay.
As a Nets fan, what are your feelings about losing Chris McCullough?
I think we'll live. You know, he's been injured pretty much this whole time. But I do like the fact that they get Andrew Nicholson back. You know, he's a guy that can play.
We really haven't seen him
get a lot of minutes. But that's okay because the Nets are only one of three teams in the NBA that are you know, under that salary threshold that they're supposed to be. So, you know, in order for us to get that first round draft pick, we kind of have to take on, you know, deals like that with Andrew Nicholson. And believe me, we got plenty of money to throw around. It's just nobody wants to come here yet. So that, I mean, you know, these guys that are in the Brooklyn front office, they're very intelligent. I mean, they've been in the Spurs organization before and, you know, they know how to build a winner. So I have all the faith in these guys that, you know, eventually this will get turned around. I mean, yeah, the Nets situation really sucks not having that lottery pick this year, potential number one overall. But I think they're doing what they can at the time. And the fact that we have two first rounders, you know, going into this draft when we didn't have any, I think that's okay. That's something I can deal with.
Yeah. There's some,
I mean, Nicholson's not a terrible player either. I mean, you know, look, we've seen when given minutes, he can do some things. Will he be a fantasy asset? I'm not sure. I was reading something that Kenny Atkinson still wants to keep Hollis Jefferson at the four, but, you know, now that they have Nicholson, maybe, you know, he goes back to playing some of the three, and, you know, that could keep things in tow. Finally getting Jeremy Lin back, too. So, hey, possibilities are endless, my friend.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, the trade deadline's
another 3 games.
The trade deadline's at 3 p.m. your time, 2 p.m. my time, so we'll know everything by this afternoon, by the time that all these games kind of hit off. Some guys to kind of just watch out for: Taj Gibson, like I said, Jahlil Okafor, Mindaugas Kuminskas, Doug McDermott, Ricky Rubio, Brandon Knight, who I think would be a great asset to the Thunder bench, but the Suns are evidently asking an arm and a leg for him. Tyson Chandler, I mean, these are all guys that could be on the move, so it's not for sure that we're going to have a lot of answers today, but we're going to do everything that we can to break it down. And I promise you, this is going to open up, like, in my opinion, I was doing a one-on-one coaching session last night and going through today's situation because we were going over some tournament game theory. And I promise you, this is one of the easiest slates to figure out after taking a week off because of what's happened and what's opened up. And it's got some great tournament pivots today. So, and we'll get into all of that. So, but
I see you tweeting in show. Very, very impressive. Boomers DFS status.
I am able to, oh, and, if you didn't see, my Coward shirt came in.
Yes, I did. Very nice.
I'm sporting.
I like the other one, the orange one with him kind of in the like the lion headgear. That one was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was a good one too. But this was
only
the one
$15. Very, very affordable for the people.
What, the Coward shirt?
Yeah, the
I
orange
got ripped
one.
Off. Then
what'd you pay?
I paid $25 for this one after shipping.
Shipping and handling, yeah. I don't know, man. I would take a look at that orange one because the graphics are a lot. I mean, you know, you just have letters on your shirt. This one's got a whole
Lion King on the back
theme on it, and it's orange. And, you know, I mean, I don't know which sort of footwear you go out there with, but that would be a nice fashion ensemble you could throw together. I'm just saying. No, just
by
saying.
The way, if you haven't checked out, and I'm going to give them a free plug because I'm
sure.
Trying to get them to sponsor us. But if you haven't checked out Teespring, that's TEESPRING.com.
I have a feeling this is a t-shirt company which springs their marketing on the folks.
Yes. I mean, they've got hoodies and everything. I mean, it's pretty – they're pretty cool. I like it.
Jeez. Okay, I'm going to check them out. All right, we got tons of stuff to get to here. Only 6 games, but, you know, a lot of different situations to break down. But let's just get right into it. We've got the Portland Trail Blazers, who are 2.5-point favorites, -140 favorites on the money line at Orlando tonight. You got yourself a 213 total in that one. Magic won the only meeting this season. That was a 6-point win at Portland. Magic are 3-2 outright, 4-1 against the spread against the Blazers in their last 5 meetings. A couple injury notes here. Al-Farouq Aminu is out. He missed the last game before the All-Star break with a knee injury. Evan Turner is out indefinitely with a fractured hand for the Magic. You got CJ Watson, who's questionable with the sore Achilles. Jody Meeks and CJ Wilcox both out indefinitely. Neither team really good in their against the spread situation on the road. For the Blazers, 10-19, Magic 8-18 against the spread at home. So not too sure where we're looking there. But in terms of this game, where is your big target that you're looking at first?
Probably to start off, to be completely honest, you've got to look at for tournaments. I'm looking at Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, just because the backcourt of the Orlando Magic isn't very good.
Sure.
You know, you've got different options that you can go to. I'm not even looking at this game for cash games. It's just when you've got four totals over 220 later on in the evening, you don't need to look there. I guess you can go Elfrid Payton and Evan Fournier. They're both pretty reasonably priced if you don't want to go with the Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum route. Maurice Harkless with Evan Turner out.
And Aminu.
And, well, Aminu's questionable.
Oh, no, I got him as out.
Oh, okay. Then that news came through a little bit later after I did that. But so you can look there as well. I really do like Mo Harkless. He's 4,600 on FanDuel. He's going to play close to 30 minutes. I'm not looking for him to win me the slate, but he is a pivot off of some other value that we'll obviously get to. I want to see here, what did Jeff Green end up playing the other day? Because this rotation was really kind of weird because they've got Aaron Gordon now playing the four. Okay, Jeff Green against San Antonio played 35 minutes. But now we have to add in Terrence Ross. Terrence Ross did not play in that game. So right now we have Jeff Green projected at 23 minutes and Terrence Ross projected at 26. They're 35 and 3,600 respectively. I don't know. Maybe taking a shot on Terrence Ross. But I don't. I mean, he's going to be low-owned, but I don't think you probably should go there. Alan Crabb's interesting, too, because he can play some of the three, and he's going to play close to 30 minutes, and he's the min salary. So there are some options here. If Vooch isn't gone by the end of the day, then obviously we can attack there as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're hearing a lot of Reggie Jackson to Orlando could possibly happen, so yeah, I don't know if that means that Elfrid Payton would come back in return, but again, it's a situation to monitor there. You know, you still got a lot of bodies that are missing there in the Orlando backcourt, so that could be an interesting spot to go. I like the T. Ross move, especially if anybody, you know, moves him, or I'm sorry, if anybody else on the Magic moves at the deadline there. The Vooch thing is interesting. Aaron Gordon's still pretty cheap. Both sites could be worth a shot, especially with Ibaka gone. You're going to see more minutes from him at the four. But my favorite one here is actually going to be from the Blazers with Jusuf Nurkić. I mean, you still got him at an extremely low price. You saw him play 21 minutes against that stingy Jazz squad in the first game before the break. He puts up 13 points, 7 rebounds, has 3 steals to go along with it. I mean, you know, they traded the only piece of their backcourt that made any sort of sense. So, yeah, I think we're going to see him start to play a lot of minutes. He had the break to get more comfortable within the team system. And, you know, the coaching staff got a chance to look at him as well there. So I think that could be a nice low price option there at the center position.
Yeah, I don't mind it. The problem I have with that one is that if I'm not mistaken, I just went to the wrong one. Nikola Vucevic has actually improved on defense this year. Pretty nice. His DRPM is a 2.10. I don't mind it. I really don't. I'm a little hesitant on it because of the fact that, you know, we haven't seen Nurkić perform a lot in this Blazers rotation. Now, granted, he did phenomenal. And for min price, I mean, he is still min price, right? No, he's 37. I'm sorry.
Damn near it.
Yeah. So I don't mind it. Probably not my favorite play at the position, obviously. But if that's where your roster construction leads you in a tournament, I definitely think that he can reach that 26 to 30 fantasy point mark. Maybe not easily, but at least get there, if that makes sense.
Sure. All right. By the way, Maurice Harkless, forgot to mention, that's a revenge game for him. He used to be a member of the Magic.
I lose track of revenge games. I want to know if his grandmother's going to be in town. That's what I want to know.
Of course, Dolly will be there.
Is Granny going to be in the stands? Because you know people hate to be embarrassed in front of Granny.
I would not even think to have a subpar performance if my grandma's ass was in the seats.
No kidding.
All right, next game on the list. We got the Charlotte Hornets at the Detroit Pistons. Pistons, 4.5-point favorites here, -175 on the money line. Total of 207 in this game. The Pistons lead the season series. They won 2 out of 3 meetings. Two of the games have been pretty close. The teams have split the last 10 meetings between them. Let's see here. In terms of, interesting statistics to look at, the Pistons are 7-0 on days where they have two to three days of rest. So, their coaching staff is good. Blah, whatever that means. In terms of injuries, the Pistons don't have any, but the Hornets, boy, do they have some. Cody Zeller's still out, which is kind of concerning for them. He missed 10 of 11 games right before the All-Star break with quadriceps soreness. Miles Plumlee is going to be out for a couple weeks. He missed the last game for the All-Star break because of calf soreness. Ended up being a little more serious than originally thought. So that's going to open up a ton of minutes for guys like Frank Kaminsky, Marvin Williams for him there. Everything given with the spread numbers here look good for the Pistons. But, again, they're another team that they got a couple names on the trade market, so something else we have to look out for.
Yeah, I think they just came out and said that Reggie Jackson's unlikely to go anywhere, so we don't have to worry about that.
That's what they say.
Yeah, that's what they say.
I've been told I was handsome before, and I have a mirror, so.
Obviously, if he's dealt, then that brings Ish Smith into play. But other than that, I'm not really looking to the point guard situation there in Detroit. I do have some interest in Andre Drummond. And I really
brother
have
of
some,
Andre.
Yes, and I really have some interest in our boy.
Which boy? We have so many.
KCP.
Yes. I almost forgot him. I tried to erase him from my memory over the break.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. Everybody's going to look at game logs today.
Sure.
And they are going to basically say, okay, well, he has sucked. Well, one of the funny things is he actually didn't quite suck as much the last game. He just didn't really get a
lot.
It
took him a while.
It took him a while to get going. It's one of the funny things about DFS is we can kind of capitalize off of people's recency bias. So I think I'm going to have a little bit of KCP today. It'll get you off the chalk a little bit, and he's capable of putting up 40. And, why not, right? Look, nobody's going to have him, and there you go. I don't like Marcus Morris. He's one of the guys that keeps popping up on the DS, but he's got a tough matchup in Michael Kidd-Gilchrist tonight. As far as Frank Kaminsky, no thank you, especially if he's going to be chalk.
That price, man.
Exactly. That price skyrocketed.
Now I have to do the inflation sound effect.
Look, FanDuel didn't do a good job with a lot of situations that they could have really, really could have corrected to avoid the shit show that's going to happen later on in the night. But they did do a good job in some places. And one of those places was Frank Kaminsky. 6K, yeah. I understand he's going to play the minutes, but I will take my chances in him only putting up a 30 instead of a 40.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly the easiest matchup for him. I mean, Drummond against Kaminsky, I'll take my shot on the former at that one. But
I'd rather play Marvin Williams at 51.
It's tough to deny the minutes, though, that he's getting. I mean, 37, 38, 36 in the last three games. No lower than 33 FanDuel points in that span. I mean, it really is tough to pass up on that. But, I mean, I get it from an ownership perspective. But you got to think, too, maybe people don't want to pay that much money for him. I don't think the ownership is going to be as ballistic as you say, but it'll be significant. It'll be significant. So I'm thinking maybe 25, 30, something along those lines.
That's too high for me at a power forward position where we're going to get to – I mean, honestly, Frank Kaminsky's not even the top five. Maybe not even – he's closer to that. He might not even make the cheat sheet tonight.
That's absurd.
So
you got to put him in red if you're going to hate on him.
I could do that.
I know your color codes, Keith. I know your color codes.
And that one doesn't even have a color key. That one's not everybody even knows. In the key.
And it's not like for a bowl where you see red, you charge. What else? Marvin Williams, you brought up. He's very interesting. Kemba Walker has been the most successful Hornet against the Pistons this season. He's got three of their highest four FanDuel point totals against them. 34.4, 36.6, and 44.9 against the Pistons this season. Bit up there in the price, 7,700. I don't know. You could take that shot on him. What else we got here? I mean, not a whole lot that's too acceptable there.
Yeah. I don't know.
Always a good answer in radio.
I mean, I like him more than Kaminsky, but
okay.
I'm not sold on it. One guy that I am possibly a little bit interested in is John Lewis. He's been playing the minutes. He's still under 5K, so he's going to be a lower-owned value option that you could possibly get in order to get off some of this mega chalk that we're going to talk about. So that's always a good possibility as well.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at your teespring.com, only 16 Brooklyn Nets related shirts, and the majority of them are for women, so not happy with them. Not very happy with them. All right, next game of the night, probably going to be the most watched of the six pack this evening, but the Rockets are in New Orleans. Rockets 3.5-point favorites tonight, -160 on the money line. Over under is at 227. I feel like the Rockets at -3.5 is an absolute steal. So if you're placing bets with your local bookie, Benny and Hoboken, Rockets. There's your easy one of the night. Rockets won the only meeting this season. That was a 22-point win in Houston. Rockets 6-3 straight up, 5-4 against the spread against the Pelicans in their last nine meetings. Six of the last nine Rockets Pelicans games have gone under the total, which I also think is a very good play tonight. Patrick Beverley was as questionable. I didn't see this. Left the last game for the All-Star break with a strained groin. He should be okay. Terrence Jones, questionable. He missed the last four games before the All-Star break with a sprained thumb. Look, obviously the big elephant in the room here, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins. We've talked about this at great length at the beginning of the show. But, you know, for those that fast-forwarded to the game section, what are you doing with this tonight, if anything?
My first question, I'm gonna ask you that same question. I'm gonna defer to you on this one first. And it's not
back.
It's not because of anything other than you know, I haven't checked around the industry to see what people are gonna do yet. So I think I know where people are gonna be, and I think that members of the DFS Army are going to be utterly shocked to know exactly where what I'm going to be doing with these with the dynamic duo.
Boy, way to sell, way to sell. I mean, look, I like Anthony Davis in the spot. I think he's the one that profiles a lot better for this matchup. I know, you know, he'll probably be playing more of the five with Boogie at the four. He moves better for this matchup. And, you know, you're going to get a lot of people that I feel are going to play DeMarcus Cousins tonight just because they want to have some exposure to what's going on. It's kind of a basic human lesson. You know, people are always going to peek over the fence to see what's going on in the next yard. But I can't go with Cousins in it. And look, Davis is a fine option too. You got Nikola Jokic right there at a very similar price point. I think he's going to be a fantastic option tonight. So I get AD to be different in tournaments, but I don't think the Pelicans are going to have a good night at all tonight. I think, you know, we talk about this too with, it's a little bit of a different scenario, but in terms of trying to figure out what you're going to do, it lineates. But you know, you're going to have the Pelicans trying to figure this thing out. Now, granted, they did get the practice sessions in, you know, prior to this game tonight. They've had a little bit of time to work with Boogie, but there is no substitute for the real game. So I do think you're going to see the Pelicans struggle a lot on offense tonight, just for the fact that they don't really know what the hell they're doing. And, you know, that could, you know, that could certainly work out to AD's benefit because, you know, he's there. He knows what's going on. It's just, I think collectively it's going to be a big struggle for them trying to integrate Boogie into this offense to make sure that he gets his touches and make sure that he's happy on night one. I think they're going to be worrying too much about that. And in turn, the Rockets, I mean, look, they added Lou Williams. It's not, you know, like you have to get him the ball every, you know, every single possession. Like, they got a similar player in Eric Gordon. They know exactly, feed these guys the ball because they're going to shoot. So I think that's a perfect fit. But for the Pelicans, it's going to be a big learning curve tonight.
I actually think people are going to run. I think Drew Holiday is going to carry the ownership because you don't have to worry about who he gets the ball to. I think that people are going to run away from Boogie and Brow. And oh, do we have the Killer Bees here? Look at me and my puns. Anyways,
Boogie and Brow.
Yeah, Boogie and Brow. I think people are going to run. I don't think people are going to play either one of them. I think that you know, because people are going to be like, oh, you can't pay that price for an unknown, and they had high usage rates, and we're going to hear it all today. I think in cash, they have a very valid point. But I think that for tournaments, both Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins are great pairings with Drew Holiday. And I will have probably one of each.
Yeah, I mean, for tournaments, why the hell not, right? YOLO, as my buddy Drizzy once said, or sang. Yeah, for tournaments, why the hell not? I just think I'm trying to look at this from a betting perspective, and I think Rockets might be the easiest. So, Jimmy, I know you degenerate out there. I know you're always gambling. He'll definitely like this one, especially since he's a H-Town guy. But I think the Rockets are going to roll in this one. And because of that, James Harden, you know, here's the other thing too. With Boogie, I know that's probably going to slow down the, you know, the Pelicans a little bit. But you got to think too, with these two bigs on the court, you know, missed shots, not exactly going to be a whole lot of good transition defense that we're going to see in this one. And if anybody's good at the transition from defense to offense, it is the Rockets. I brought this up a couple weeks ago, and you kind of poo-pooed the notion. But Rockets are 14th in defensive efficiency. I mean, they are no spring chicken here. They've been doing a very good job. So I think that transition game is just going to absolutely murder the Pelicans tonight. And, you know, we're going to see some good games from Harden, possibly, and Reza, Gordon, guys like that. Revenge game for Gordon tonight, too. So
actually, I might temper off of what I said. Because what's Boogie's price? Let me see here.
It is incredibly high.
11. I might have one share of Boogie, but I just stat mused it. Shameless plug. They played each other on January 31st. In 25 minutes, he had 29.9 points. I'm going to have to look into that situation to see exactly what happened. I feel like there was something else that went on that game.
NBA League Pass, another shameless plug.
Yeah, no kidding. But in April of 2015, he did put up a 77 against these guys. Now, granted, that was two seasons ago, but still, I mean, it's not like the Rockets have been shocking the world with their uptick in pace from last year to this year. But, you know... I would agree that it might be Anthony Davis night. We always like playing Anthony Davis at home, but part of me also thinks that they're going to want to showcase their shiny new toy.
Yep.
So it's not like Anthony Davis has had a lot of good success against the Rockets either. On December 16th, 28.5 in 22 minutes. March of last season, 31.1 in 39 minutes. January of last season, 17 in 19 minutes. He probably left that game because he got hurt. Day after Christmas last season, 44 and 37. So he's only got 1, 2, 3 games over 50 in the last three seasons. So it's not like either one of these bigs have had a lot of success against this team. Gosh, I don't know. It's going to depend. I think they're going to be very low owned. I think people are going to run away. If I don't play them, it's not because I'm scared to. It's because I don't think that they're going to have a good game. So that would be my play there.
All right, fair enough. Now, there are some other interesting things to look at here for the Pelicans. I mean, look, the backcourt basically just got whitewashed. So, you know, on FanDuel, you got Etuan Moore listed as the only shooting guard there for the Pelicans. He's incredibly cheap, 3,600. And let's not forget, Tim Frazier's probably going to be back in the mix as well. He's there at minimum price on FanDuel. You know, he'll be that backup point guard. So he could certainly provide a spark with the second unit there for the Pelicans. So that could be an interesting way to go.
I love Etuan Moore tonight. I think he is going to be overlooked. I think he is going to be absolutely just amazing tonight for the price. Now, I'm not saying he's going to put up a 50 burger, but for the price,
yeah,
I am finding it very, very hard to get off of Etuan Moore because I think that his ownership compared to the other value is going to be minuscule.
See, I think he's going to be ridiculously high owned, but a lot of that has to do with his price. I mean, yeah, I think people are going to see that. Look, he's the only shooting guard that they got there now. To where?
I think people are going to go Harden.
Well, you can go both. I mean, and
can, but from what I'm gathering, we're going to have Kostas Koufos, Willie Cauley-Stein, obviously. I mean, let's just let the cat out of the bag right now. We're going to have those two that are going to be extremely highly owned in the later games. I think that, and that allows you to go with guys like Kyrie, who's we're going to talk about here in a second. I think that Drew Holiday is going to carry a little bit of ownership. I think Jameer Nelson is going to carry some ownership. You know, Chris Paul, if he's actually announced active, I think he's going to carry some ownership. And we'll talk about that situation too. But I think that for the shooting guard, you're going to have guys like, you know, Clay, Evan Fournier, you know, Eric Gordon, Gary Harris, Will Barton. So I think there's a lot, especially Will Barton in that Denver game because it's Sacramento. And then if they go to value, I think they're going to overlook that and they're going to go straight to Buddy Hield. So, or Tyreek Evans.
Yep, and Tyreek is very cheap there as well.
So I don't.
Now, but just keep in mind, do not put Corey Brewer in your lineup because he's still on the Rockets, according to FanDuel. Just don't be stupid.
Yes, and Lou Williams as well, because the Lakers are not on the slate. They won't be. They won't fix that. So if you try to roster Lou Williams tonight, well, he's not even on the slate, so don't have to worry about that.
By the way, he's not going to be in play tonight, but the Pelicans did sign Hollis Thompson, so he could be getting some minutes here.
Yeah, he could end up coming going in the side, but yeah, I think that Etuan Moore is going to be pretty low owned tonight. Now this is just initial thoughts. I haven't gone into my ownership research yet, so.
All right. Next game we got here, we got the Cleveland Cavaliers, 10-point favorites as they host the New York Knicks tonight, -650 on the money line, 223 total we got in this one. Cavs have won all three meetings this season. They kicked the shit out of the Knicks in the first two games, but their last one was at the Garden, a 7-point win there, but Kyrie didn't play that game. Cavs 9-1 against the Knicks in their last 10 games, 5-5 against the spread in that span. Eight of the last Knicks Cavs games have gone over the total. Eight straight. That's amazing. Let's see here. In terms of rest, Cavaliers 11-2 on 2 to 3 days of rest this season. 24-40 against the spread versus teams with a losing record over the last two seasons are the Cavaliers. In terms of injuries, Kevin Love out indefinitely, got the arthroscopic knee surgery. And then Brandon Jennings, questionable. He missed the last game before the All-Star break with a sore Achilles. Joakim Noah, also listed as questionable. He missed the last five games before the All-Star break with a sore hamstring. In terms good players to be looking at here, LeBron James has posted the three highest FanDuel point totals of any Cavalier against the Knicks this season, 44.7, 48, 51.2. Kyrie Irving had two solid outings against the Knicks in terms of FDP, 38.6 and 41.4. Again, he sat out that last game between the two teams. Look, without Kevin Love, I think both these guys are in a fantastic spot tonight. It goes without saying.
Yeah. I mean, how can you not love Kyrie Irving tonight? I mean, seriously. Even at the elevated... I knew that was coming. Even at the elevated price tag, I mean, it's still kind of hard. It's still kind of hard to not love Kyrie Irving. And you get exposure to LeBron without paying 11-2, even though, I mean, you could definitely reach for LeBron and still get him tonight. It's not an issue at all. I'm actually interested in Derrick Rose. Did you say that GHG was going to play tonight, was going to start?
I didn't say it, but
yeah, they've already announced it. Yeah, they've already announced it. He's going to be playing tonight because Noah's out. Courtney Lee's still dealing with the illness. Brandon Jennings is just old. And, okay, maybe not. He's not that old, but still. But yeah, I mean... Look, Kristaps Porzingis is still underpriced, I think. I think he's a good option for tournaments. He's started to look a lot better before the break. I think the break's only going to help him. The guy I'm actually looking to, there's actually two of them, and they're down on the low block, Kyle O'Quinn and Derek Williams. Kyle O'Quinn is one of the highest fantasy point per minute guys that we have on the slate tonight. He is projected at a whopping, I only had it for one game. He is the projected at a whopping 1.113 minutes per game, or points per minute. That's top 15. That's above guys like Kyrie Irving, Blake Griffin, Draymond Green, CJ McCollum, and we've only got him projected at 16 minutes. Could you imagine what this guy is going to do if he gets close to 20, 25? So, and there's definitely a possibility that he could. The funny thing is that Derek Williams just signed a second 10-day contract, so it's looking like he's probably going to end up sticking out the rest of the year with the Cavs. They've been pretty impressed with it from everything that I've read. So he's only at 4,100. He's playing close to 25 minutes a game. Played 27 the last game against Indiana. Now, I know he only put up 16, but he played 23 minutes against Minnesota and put up 22. So I think anywhere between 25 to 28 minutes is a nice little prediction there. What do we do with Derrick Rose?
We wait. We wait because he could be a Minnesota Timberwolves reunited with Tom Thibodeau. Now, I Fair saw point. Tweets there that, you know, he was at shoot around today, but, you know, that doesn't mean shit. You know, a trade can go down here. I mean, hell, I think both the rumor's been Derrick Rose for Ricky Rubio straight up. I mean, both teams want to get rid of said player in this whole thing. So, I think that's a perfect deal that should go down. Now, I know Brandon Jennings, I had him listed as questionable. I'm sure he's going to play tonight. I mean, you know, he had the whole entire break to rest up that sore Achilles. So, I mean, look, that could certainly be a good spot to go with tonight. I mean, well, Jennings put up 47 against the Cavaliers that game that Derrick Rose missed not too long ago. What was that? Three weeks ago, they're against the Cavs. So yeah, I mean Jennings at 5,000. You kidding me? Yeah, book it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what? Your original question: what am I doing with Derrick Rose? Hopefully, pivoting to Brandon Jennings.
Yeah, I don't like messing with Achilles injuries. That's the problem with me. Is one false move on a plant and stop, and that thing pops, and we've seen it with Brandon Jennings. He's already popped an Achilles. That's what cost him his job in Detroit. So,
well, let's hope he wasn't goofing off with his week off. I mean, I probably would have been, but hey, we're not talking about me at $5,000 tonight here. How cool, like, this is so interesting because, of course, you got Melo, you know, listed as a possible, trade guy of the Cavaliers, and then these two are playing each other tonight. That would be something if it actually went down.
No kidding.
How quick can you get a physical done?
For me, it only takes like 2 minutes. But, I'm not being paid millions of dollars to go out there and wreck a team. So, yeah, it's I think Kyle Korver is going to be interesting tonight to see where the field goes with him. He absolutely he went bananas last time. 25 minutes, 36 fantasy points. Now, granted, he added 2 steals and 2 assists, which are like career highs for him. So, but, yeah, I think he's going to be interesting tonight. I think some people are going to go to him, but Amon Shumpert's going to be back. I don't know. It's Kyrie and it's Derek Williams for me on the Cleveland side of things. Maybe Tristan Thompson, but, you know, his price is up there where there's not a lot of profit potential there for me.
All right. by the way, do you know that trade that you posted? You had it, right?
Which one?
That Wojnarowski one.
Oh, Boston closing in on Butler and
yeah. That was from Draft Cheat.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I can't believe I got played. There's like 15 different Adrian Wojnarowski.
Man, that is too funny. I just saw it right now, and the like a couple people called him out on it. Very funny. Very good one. Good one. That's hysterical. All right. Are we all done with this? Actually, no. I kind of like Kristaps Porzingis tonight. Again, this guy I've been talking about right before the All-Star break. He had a couple performances there that really – caught my eye and, kind of things that reaffirmed what I was talking about. And then he had a couple performances that made me look like a fucking idiot. But that's okay. I mean, tonight's matchup against Channing Frye is a primo one. That is one that I would like to certainly have a part of. Now, let me ask you this question. Knowing what Kristaps can do, even with all that, you're probably going to get low ownership. You like him or you like Frank the Tank, even with all that ownership? The old A or B game.
I gotta go with Kristaps.
All right. See, you are the low ownership. Like, I feel like you'll take that over anything
in tournaments. Yeah, because I mean, okay, so we're talking about $600. We're talking coming out of the break, 35 to 36 minutes. For Porzingis, and the only way he doesn't get to that, I think, is if it's like a 25-point game going into the fourth quarter.
All right. Yeah, could possibly be. Yeah, again, going to be an interesting one to watch with all these different moves that could possibly go down. But, I like some certain things here on the Knicks if things play out. And, again, you got to remember, too, one of the stats that I brought up there, the Cavs, yeah, they're 9-1 against the Knicks in their last 10 meetings, but there have been some close games in there, so keep that in mind. All right, let's get to the next one here. Los Angeles Clippers at the Golden State Warriors. Warriors 12-point favorites here, minus 1,000 on the money line, and we've got a total of 230.5 tonight. Warriors have won all three meetings against this season against the Clippers very convincingly. 10-1 against the Clippers in their last 11 meetings. 7-3-1 against the spread in that span. Chris Paul is questionable. He has been medically cleared to play, recovering from that thumb surgery. So that'll certainly be a situation to keep in mind. And then we got Zaza Pachulia and David West, both listed as questionable. David West, I feel like, was out, but I don't know. I will get clarity on that in 1 second. Three times these have been laughable games, but the other thing that's been very consistent in this span, it's been Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant just killing the Clippers this season. Of the top six fantasy point scores of any Warriors against the Clippers this season, Curry and Durant own all six of them. Who's your guy in this one?
I think this whole game is juicy. I'm going to have a Chris Paul lineup tonight and a DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin. So I might have two Chris Paul lineups because I'm not going to put Blake and DeAndre in the same lineup. But I hope that Chris Paul is not announced as playing before lock because I'll get him at less than 1%. So I really, really like that. Look, they wouldn't come out and put he's been clear to play and blah, 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 blah if they weren't going to play him. And this is a perfect game to play him at. He's going to get Steph Curry defense. He's going to be fired up, jacked up. Look, the Clippers, 2 days ago, they were selling Blake Griffin. Now Chris Paul's back, and this is a team that's been reeling. Yeah, you don't think Chris Paul's a little hungry? I think the Clippers cover. I think this is going to be a low-owned game because of the spread, and I think I'm going to attack this game on a lot of different aspects tonight. And I think this is going to be my late night hammer.
Yeah, I mean, look, I definitely like these. Look, Curry, you know, he's had some amazing games, as I mentioned, but you got to remember two of those were with CP3 and street clothes. You know, he did have the 43.8 against them, so, you know, not totally useless. Durant, probably going to see that Luke Mabamomo-Rute defense. I like both guys in this one. I'm probably not gonna come down off that mountain, and that's probably the only two that I would go with. I'm not a big fan of playing Draymond Green. I feel like for his price, more often you just get the average production more than the, you know, more than the upside. That's fine. Same thing, Klay Thompson. I mean, he did have some pretty good games there before the break, but again, he just scares the ever living shit out of me in DFS. But Blake Griffin's a guy I'm pretty interested in. Now, I don't know if you remember that last podcast before the break. I really liked him in that matchup against the Hawks, and he underwhelmed big time. But boy, oh boy, prior to that, he was putting up some serious, serious numbers. So he's high on my target list this evening.
Yeah, I love Blake Griffin. A lot of people, I think, are going to stay away because of the perceived tough matchup against Draymond Green. I think it's a great place to attack in tournaments, not because of the fact that Draymond Green is a bad defender. He's a very, very good defender, but I think he's going to have to split his time between DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin. And I think it's a – and we've seen, like I said, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, they work well together. And I think that's a good – like I said, I'm going to have one of those stacks. Like, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin will be in one of my lineups together. And it'll probably be coming back with a Kevin Durant or Klay Thompson. I haven't decided which yet. I believe that we talked about this last time that these two played, and we shied off of Durant with Luke Richard and Bamute defense. And I believe it bit us in the ass. I'm going to have to go back and look, but I believe it did. And fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, or fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm not going to fall for it again. So I'm going to be coming back with one of those. I do think that Chris Paul makes an impact again on the defensive side of thing, and I think that Steph Curry is relegated strictly for tournaments, and that's like sure. Large field tournaments and qualifiers only.
Gotcha. Anything from this one or anything else before we move on to the last game of the night?
No, I think JJ Redick and Jamal Crawford are no longer playable at their inflated price tags.
Gotcha.
And hey, obviously, you know, Austin Rivers and Raymond Felton as well.
I'm so glad you mentioned. Remember, I like my Redick with Chris Paul in the lineup, so we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, but going against Klay, who can move just as well as JJ, that's a tougher matchup.
I know the risk associated. I'm just saying. With CP3.
I think that's a great tournament option because, you know, JJ, just like Klay, can get hot, but it's not like Klay or JJ's got a good matchup as far as, I mean, Klay moves a lot like JJ does. He's a great catch and shoot guy. So, I mean, I like it. I see where you're going with it. And I like the fact that, you know, it's another option there with Chris Paul, back in the lineup, but it scares me because of the fact that Klay not only is a pretty decent defender, but the fact that Klay can really move like JJ can as well. So that's where I'm kind of a little hesitant on that one.
Scary, bruh. And we've got our first major news of the trade deadline day. Are you ready? CJ Watson is out for the Magic tonight.
Oh, yeah.
CJ Watson out for the Magic. Okay, last game to get to here. Sorry if I just made you pull over for nothing. Denver Nuggets, 7.5-point favorites tonight, -310 on the money line at the Sacramento Kings. 221 is our total. Thank you, Vegas, for showing us how much you disrespect the Kings now without DeMarcus Cousins. Kings won the only meeting between the two teams. That was a 7-point win in Denver. Kings 6-2 straight up and against the spread versus the Nuggets. And the last 8 Nuggets Kings games have gone over the total. Now, all that Kings mumbo jumbo against the Nuggets doesn't mean shit because no more Boogie. So take that for what it's worth. A lot of injury designations as of now. Danilo Gallinari, questionable. You got the groin soreness. You got Wilson Chandler, who's probable with he missed missed 2 games for the All-Star break with an illness. You got Kenneth Faried, Emmanuel Mudiay, and Daryl Arthur, all questionable for this one. So just keep it all in mind. Guy, they should be able to play. I mean, you know, they did have a week off, so we'll see how
should. That rest This is the NBA that we're should. Talking about.
Should, yes, indeed. For the Kings, Ty Lawson will play. He missed the last 4 games for the All-Star break with leg soreness, but he'll be back. We'll talk about that impact. Malachi Richardson is out.
They confirmed that now?
Yes, he is. Damn or it. He's hopeful. He's expected to play. He is. He's playing. Malachi Richardson out indefinitely with a torn hamstring, and then you got Garrett Temple, Aaron Aflalo, both questionable with hamstring soreness. So I get the biggest news of all, besides the Boogie thing, is the fact that Lawson will be coming back, and that kind of puts Collison in a tough spot. Excuse me?
I said, see you, Darren Collison.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, indeed. Collison's still a 5,500. If you think that they hate Ty Lawson, maybe Roach that could bomb. Work. But I would advise against it. Sorry. What do you got for us?
Philadelphia sending Nerlens Noel to Dallas for Justin Anderson and a first-round pick.
No shit. Wow. Did not think it was going to be Noel that went.
Nope, I didn't either.
I like that they get Justin Anderson, though. He's a favorite of mine. But so I guess they're keeping Okafor, huh?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
So wait, so they're getting the first rounder?
Yep.
Oh, wow. That's going to be a good pick.
This is after what... After what Mark Cuban said that he was interested in taking on expiring contracts, never thought that was going to happen. So, but kudos to Mark Cuban making moves to try to improve his team.
Yeah, I guess. I
don't think it's going to be a lottery pick, but it's going to be pretty damn close.
Very, very interesting to see some of the details behind that one. But, no word yet on when that draft pick is, if it's going to be this year or next year. But, all right, what are we looking at here with the Nuggets and the Kings?
Chalk? Chalk. Chalk and chalk. Willie Cauley-Stein and Kofi Scoops are going to be mega chalk, like uber mega chalk. And I think Tyreek Evans is going to be highly owned. I think Buddy Hield is going to be highly owned. I like Anthony Tolliver as a pivot.
Okay.
Because I think Willie Cauley-Stein is going to eat that ownership, and so will Kostas Koufos.
Eat that ownership, boy.
I like Willie or Anthony Tolliver as the guy to kind of take on I don't think you can completely fade this game, but I think you have to take into consideration where the field's going to be. And I have no problem fading one or both of these Sacramento bigs if I'm going with Anthony Tolliver. It's not the ideal matchup in cash games, but obviously, you know, we're not just talking cash games here. But what are we doing with Nikola Jokic? Because I actually ran across some interesting information last night about Kostas Koufos.
Interesting. I like Jokic. I mean, he's shown at this point, you have minutes, he's going to be producing. But now my mind is just consumed with the fact that you have looming information. So I need to hear what that is first.
Kostas Koufos is actually a 2.77 DRPM.
Okay.
And so that's actually pretty good. pretty good.
Yeah, if you're into that sort of thing.
I mean, come on, overall he's ranked top 20 in the NBA.
Okay.
Now his offensive game sucks like balls, but his defensive, I mean, this is above guys like Luke Richard and Mbamute, Derek Favors, Dwight Howard, Michael Gilchrist, Tyson Chandler. I mean, he's basically the number 10 center in the NBA. Now, does that mean that Nikola Jokic isn't going to be able to still eat? No. But does it make me consider possibly fading him? Yeah, a little bit. But then we also have to introduce the fact that Mason Plumlee could be playing the 5-2 and Nikola Jokic could be playing the 4. So now you're looking at it like, okay, does Plumlee eat the Kostas Koufos defense more or does Jokic? Because Jokic and Plumlee, they started out the game together on the court. In the first quarter and the second half. And then they played, other than that though, they played like a total combined like 8 minutes on the court together. It might be a little bit lower according to Popcorn Machine, but you know, they pretty much, the way that Mike Malone ran his rotation last game, they pretty much alternated these guys at the five. Well, as long as Koufos can stay out of foul trouble, they're going to run his ass out there until he pukes. I mean, they don't got anybody else.
No.
Are you going to put Scal Labarisi or Labasiri out there? I mean, come on. I want to play Jokic. I really do. But if I can gain an edge by him being at the five and fading him because Koufos can lock him down a little bit, then I might do it. And I'm not talking a complete fade. I'm talking about, you know, if his ownership, because I think he's going to be chalky. But this is a guy that could go for 55 in this matchup, you know, at 10-9 with 65 point upside and flirt with a triple double in this matchup with the lack of depth for the Sacramento Kings. I think I'm going to be underweight on it, and I think that he's going to be close to around 40%.
See, I don't, when we're looking at, you know, ownership prices there or ownership percentages there with Jokic, I think, you know, we're more, that's probably going to be the spot where people, they try to find their value at the power forward position. So I don't know that necessarily going with Jokic will be a chalky move at all. You know, I think a lot of people are going to be in that Kaminsky, Willie Cauley-Stein, you know, guys like that. They'll probably be more on at the power forward position, and, you know, maybe – Jokic won't be as highly owned as you think. I mean, look, the guy's just been unbelievable here since he's been getting the minutes, and you know the team's just showing a lot of faith in him. So I think, and then you know, another, I guess, another way that we can kind of put some validity to your paranoia on Jokic tonight. You know, we got to see what happens too with the other injuries from the Nuggets. You know, if all these guys are going to be out again, that's going to be more shots there for Jokic and more opportunities for him. But, you know, if you're getting Chandler back in the lineup, Gallinari, guys like that, you know, a couple shots are going to be coming away, going to be taken away from them. And you kind of seen that in the last four games, you know, with all those guys out, that's really when Jokic's big surge kind of came. So, yeah, I think there could be some validity into what you're saying, but I mean, it's really tough to shy away from what the guy's been doing lately.
Oh, yeah, trust me, I'm not doing it and feeling comfortable about it. By any stretch of the imagination. But if what you're saying is the way that it ends up coming out, and he's going to be low owned, then I'm going to be overweight on him. Whatever the field is going to do, I'm going to be opposite on Nikola Jokic tonight. And it's just because of that matchup. Now, that doesn't mean it's not a complete fade, you know, but it's going to be very calculated on how I deal with Jokic. As far as the whole damn guard situation for the Denver Nuggets, one thing we do have to make light of, it doesn't matter if Emmanuel Mudiay is back. Jameer Nelson has Mike Malone has let it be known that Jameer Nelson is now number one on that depth chart.
Yeah, I saw that.
So at 5,600, he's very, very interesting going up against the wannabe defense of Darren Collison and Ty Lawson. Gary Harris and Will Barton are both in play. Obviously, if Gallo's out, then you can fire up Wilson Chandler. If he's in play, don't play Matt Barnes. He was waived. You know,
you'll be waving bye-bye to your lineup tonight.
You know, if Aaron Aflalo's in, you know, a lot of these guys, it's going to depend on how we read the injury situation. So make sure that you pay attention when you're looking at Boomer's Ballers today, because this, I don't think this is a situation, because there's like 15 different scenarios that could happen. I don't think this is a situation that we can really cover and be 100% sure where we're going to go. So when you're looking at Boomer's Ballers today, make sure that you read the player blurbs for these Denver Nuggets guys, because I will give you an idea of where I'm headed.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting too is that this is, you know, it sucks that, you know, this is going to be the latest game along with the Warriors Clippers that tips off. But, you know, we kind of have a little bit of an advantage today since it's the first game back from the All-Star break. Like, we should, again, keyword here, should know what the availability of these players probably earlier than we normally would at a regular point during the season.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to kind of look at it.
Keyword should. Don't
yeah,
forget that.
Should. Should. But you know, that's why I'm really, really intrigued by the Clippers and Golden State game, is because I think so much ownership in the late night hammer is going to be eclipsed towards this game. And
yeah, you ain't wrong for thinking that way, man.
Cause I'm trying to think. Nikola Jokic could be the highest, or more than likely will be the highest fantasy point producer out of this game, right?
Yeah.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4 different guys in that Clippers Golden State game that can outperform him. So if he's chalk, it's an easy pivot. You know, if he's chalk, I can pivot to Kevin Durant. you know, who's actually $500 or $600 cheaper. Or, you know, you can put it to Blake Griffin, who's $2,200 cheaper. You've got options there that you can pivot. So in tournaments, this is a very, very, very interesting way to go. And if you've got a lot of these guards and wings playing for the Denver Nuggets, then I think a lot of ownership starts to pivot all over the map. So it's going to be a wait and see and kind of read on who's doing what type of thing. So.
Yeah. All right. You know, again, that'll be the Slack chat special basically going on for, you know, tonight's game, because a lot of that has to, you know, do with what we're going to be using in our lineups tonight. So, again, if you're not a member, come check out what's going on. One of the best things going on in DFS right now, one of the things that could really help you out the most, DFSArmy.com. If you use the promo code podcast, it makes it a little easier on your bank account too. $16 a month for everything that you get with us. That's the Slack channel that I just spoke about with all the information going on. You got Boomer's Ballers Cheat Sheet, which Keith just mentioned. Got the Domination Station, where if you don't really have enough time to make lineups during the day, it'll basically do it for you. So a lot of great things that you can get for just $16. Make sure you join up with us. And Keith, I know you and I, we're going to be basically one eye on our task for the day, me with the article, you with your cheat sheet, and the other on Twitter, basically seeing what's going on today. So
at least until the trade deadline's done.
And we've happy, got happy deadline hours. Day to you and to all out there.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. We will be back tomorrow with another decent sized slate.
Ten games.
Jesus Christ, never a break. Well, we just got one a whole week, so I'm ready to get back into it, and that'll do it. All right, we'll see y'all tomorrow. Peace.
Yes, sir. Peace out.